Good morning. It's 7:30 and this is K1 Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain, or what people think of as the phone. That is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and use as radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Your hosts for K1 Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mull from IT Village. If it's technology, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up the phone, whether it's a rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for K1 Tech Talk. And the crew is here ready to take your technology questions this morning. As always, 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. Charles and Charles over at the other mic. We stirred the technology controversy pot last week just a little bit and got some good calls.
We missed you, Charles. Yeah. We had a great time. We talked about a little bit of the Apple war that's going on with the IRS and IRS. Well, those two.
But there may be.
But the government, I guess it's a big portion of the government.
Yeah, I believe, still standing at a point of a court order right now. We'll see if Apple is trying to be, I politely say, excused from that court order.
They're working on some things. And, you know, there's just so much in that whole process that's just, you see the rights of our rights, and then you see how we have to be aware of what's going on in this world because of the terrorists and things like that. And so you see both sides, and it's not like one is better than the other. It's just that, what are we going to give up to get that safety?
It's just like a lot of other things, and the framers of the Constitution couldn't have seen this particular incident, but that's why they created a court system and an independent judiciary, and certain processes have to be followed. And Anyway, it's corporate rights for the promise of privacy that people thought was stated or implied or inferred, depending on how they saw it, when they purchased a product and a service, versus, like you said, somebody, probably a bad guy doing some bad stuff.
And that's the problem with media. Mm-hmm. Charles and I can talk about that all day, how much corruption there is in, you know, people wanting to get into your systems, wanting to get to your information, because it's an information world. That's what it is. Yeah. You know, if you had huge wealth of gold and things in storage, somebody would try to break in, and this is the information age, and they're wanting your information.
Right. All that security stuff is really moving to the forefront more so all the time.
Yeah.
And you just have to figure out how to play the game, because to me, I see that as like having the back, you know, key to the back door, you know, of some organization. Well, if it was your place, I mean, who would you give that key to?
Exactly. And see, that's the big debate right now, is that the government's been hacked more than anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get hacked every day on a daily basis. And we're going to give up that back door key to them.
In and of itself is a problem, because they should be among the most secure.
They should be. And, you know, they're the ones that created the Internet. But in the process of it all, what we were talking about...
Not the federal government, a couple of universities.
Yeah, a couple of universities, but through the government. They were using it back in the day for other purposes, but military mainly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an amazing thing when you start to study where we've come from. Actually, you know, speaking of that, with your intro to our wonderful show here, I love the little Pac-Man thing, but... Pixels, the movie Pixels,
yeah,
if you watched
go.
It,
yeah.
You know, it takes you back in time to the old games, and it was just kind of fun to hear the old terminology and stuff, and we're speaking about terminology today, but it was hilarious to listen to the old terminology and to go back into those games, Centipede and all those different things. It was just kind of fun.
Well, it was, I mean, we just had the anniversary of the marketing of Pong. It was on one of my calendar events just this past week or so. I'd have to go back and get the exact date, but I think it was, what was it, something like 74?
73, 74. It is an old game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when Atari came out with those, and you had your little Atari paddle, you know, and you would just... It was just so much fun, but games today are different than games of the past. The games of the past required some skill, knowledge skill of how to, eye-hand coordination type things, games, not that they don't have that like that today, but it's just a little bit different. And in the movie, they talked about even going out to the arcade and doing this and with your friends. It was a hangout thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it was competition between your buddies, and you'd have a great time. But now it's so individual and personal. Well, you sit at home and play your game all by yourself.
And Tron took us inside the game.
Yeah, Tron took us. Man, what a great game that was, dude.
Yeah.
It's just fun to go back and look at that stuff. But
well, now, you know, people reference those things like they were just common... You know, language, because each generation has its thing.
Well, and Tron, that was a command from BASIC, trace on, so you were tracing the program through.
Yeah, like my kids, they were probably raised on Lemmings.
Yeah.
Remember the game Lemmings, where you had all these little creatures, and then you'd actually have to create a path for them, because, I mean, they'll go over cliffs, they'll dig holes, they'll self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to direct them sometimes.
Yeah, I know my son, it was an Apple II game, Wavy Navy, he liked that one. But
Wavy
Navy.
I was trolling around one day in the App Store, just goofing around. I found this game that somebody had put on there called Terminal Velocity, and it was an old DOS. It started out as a DOS game, and then they actually made it a little bit better. And it was in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s that virtual reality came out. And it was the you would get addicted to it. You'd be stuck at your computer for hours and hours and hours playing this fun game.
Yeah.
And they put the exact version on the iPhone or, you know, the App Store you could download. And the amazing amount of comments that you got after that, you know, the guys putting in the comments and their reviews, they were like, man, this was great to go back in time. How much fun this was. Kids don't even know what games are today. I sat down, and my wife had to tell me several times to get up for dinner. You know, it was great, you know, how you get trapped back into those fun games.
I found a website, this was probably 7 or 8 years ago now, that you could go to, and it would run a Apple emulator to play some of the Apple II games on your PC. But it only seemed to work. It didn't work well after, I think, Windows XP. The operating system had changed, and it wouldn't emulate the Apple II operating system anymore. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, what a thing to go back into time.
Oh yeah, remember the game Tetris?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
One of my favorites.
Oh yeah, me too. And you know, I used to use that as a reference, but now people don't even know the game anymore.
Yeah,
you know, you can't use it
as a reference anymore.
Yeah, because you know, basically you move the blocks so that you get rid of those spaces. And I used to tell people, well, you know, Windows is kind of like that. When you install it, you know, everything is positioned just right, and you can't go back and fill in those little holes anymore, because I mean that game is done. If you haven't positioned these things right, you basically have to format, you build it back again, start fresh, because you know that's just kind of the way it is.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because you know, in computer, and we're talking terminologies today, you and I had discussed this week we'd like to talk about terminologies to make it simpler for people to communicate with us. I had a guy call in about a hard drive that was having an issue, and it was making this clicking sound. And I said, well, your FAT table is probably damaged. And he says,
my who?
My what?
Yeah.
I said, your FAT table. He goes, I don't know what that means. So we had to sit down. I had to explain to him a file allocation table and what that really means. And so we were talking about this, and I said, this is where all your files are stored at the beginning, that are like the... When you open up a filing cabinet, you start reading all the little tags to tell you what you're going to open up and which folder. That's what the file allocation table is. It's allocating where everything's going to go. And I said, and that partly is the problem. You've got a little glitch in there somewhere. One sector is bad, and it's causing that to skip there.
Yeah.
And it's not going any further. And so to try to explain that, you know, it's kind of hard to explain sometimes. But terminologies, I thought you and I had talked about this. This would be a great topic, because people will say something and we'll give them the term and they won't understand what we're talking about, and it makes it harder to explain.
Well, we all get those calls where somebody says, well, it's doing this, and then but the terms they use basically leads you away from what the actual problem is. So that's why it's nice to do some level setting.
Level setting to let people know where we're at.
Yeah, because it is.
Some of the terms that have come through computer world are not necessarily referred to anymore, because we've gone on. Some of the basic terms back in the 80 column punch card days, on subroutines and calls and hooks, and you can still talk about them, but that we don't really look at those anymore. So it's all different.
That's right. Because I still get those calls 6:30 in the morning. You know, our internet's down. Yeah. And we got to have this or that. And If they would have just said the right words, we could have resolved it right there. And I actually have a nice little picture. I like to use visuals, you know. So it says point to the actual buttons, you know, that you push, and so that you can go through these steps. Here's one, here's two, but in a conversation, you can't hardly do that. And that's why it's good to have those terms. Like for example, everybody should know what a power cycle is. Well, it's like the rebooting process. Yeah. It's when you actually physically power down a piece of equipment and let it start back up, because that solves half of your Windows problems right there.
Well, and it's the same with phones.
Yeah.
If you take your phone and force boot it, it's the same as a power cycle, recycling. Mm-hmm. The power, you're just shutting everything down and making the phone do its process. On average, I would say probably 20 people a week come into my shop with either an iPad or an iPhone and hand it to me and go, it just will not turn on. It's dead. I think the battery's gone. And it was charging. The last time I saw it, it had 75%, and now it's dead. And I'll hold down those two buttons, and they mm-hmm. said, oh, we tried that. No, you got to hold it down. And you hold it down for like 15 seconds, and all of a sudden, there comes the Apple logo. Here you go, and have a nice day. And it's a simple process, but it is understanding how the system works. You have to unplug it sometimes and take it all the way down and reboot it.
Well, we'll do a warm boot, and we'll come back and talk about those technology terms coming up in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Winter is here, and Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Keep him at bay with a new Trane home comfort system from Ernest Heat and Air. Keep the cold where it belongs, outdoors. Lower your utilities with a higher efficient furnace and use that extra cash for a nice summertime vacation. Purchase a home comfort high efficiency system before time runs out, and they'll give you a free furnace. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057, 918-335-3057, and remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Great fans are part of what helps lead the team to victory. That's why American Heritage Bank is your number one fan. Since 1905, American Heritage Bank has put its customers and communities first. As a full-service bank, American Heritage is committed to meeting your banking needs. Whether you need us once a week or once a month, we are here to serve you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com and let us be your number one fan, American Heritage Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and Tech Talk. And we're talking terminology and some of the things that will keep your operating system operating if you do them right.
Well, you know, following up on the topic you just had as far as getting your phone powered off, physically powered off, mm-hmm. I've had a couple of people actually call me this week where they said, well, I pushed the power button, but there's still a flashing blue light. So basically on the power button itself,
sure.
Which on these particular machines, it didn't really power it off. It just put it in, it was in sleep mode. Mm-hmm. And that's what that flashing usually tells you. It's still running, but it's not really powered off.
Right.
So if it's in some weird state, you don't really have much control over it. And you're forced to hit that power button, but you got to hold it down at least 10, 15 seconds before it physically goes off. And then you can hear it power down mm-hmm. and then the light goes off.
Sure.
So you do have to do that. But I've had people kind of overuse that to the point where their machine gets corrupted. Because, if you're actually, like with Windows, it's doing updates maybe, or it's doing some kind of change. So
it tells you don't turn the machine off.
Right. It's got a message. It says do not turn off this machine.
Until it's done.
Right. And I've had people turn servers off that way that has taken like a day to recover, just by simple shutting it down in a critical time when half of the files have been updated, the other half have it, and it can't find the operating system anymore, so it doesn't boot.
And we talked about the terminology of bricked, and that's basically the same process. A bricked phone is usually a phone that was right in the middle of an update and somehow got shut down, and the update wasn't fully installed. A lot of times it bricks the phone. It causes the phone to go into a lockdown mode where you're bricked out, and then mm-hmm. you have to go back and find some way to come back in and restore all that software that was damaged. A lot of times it's done through a computer on a USB cable or whatever. But that's what happens.
Yeah, like on a brick phone, how do you recover from that? So
exactly, yeah.
Because it's gonna vary. Like for example, I use the Kindle quite a bit. I'm starting to favor my Kindle over my iPad now.
Really?
Yeah, because, if you're an Android person, you're in home territory. But like the Kindle is kind of a special version of the of the Android operating system, so it doesn't have the full set. Like, it doesn't have the same app store. It's got an app store, but it's Amazon's
app store. Yeah, it's Amazon wrote their own code as opposed to Google writing the code for the
so
Amazon.
So it's kind of a subset. Yeah. And you can actually go in and start modifying it, and this is where you kind of get off the mainstream and start developing your own environment that basically kind of circumvents how the thing was designed, because you can set up so that you can use regular apps. So you turn off this mode that kind of restricts the installs, and like you can install browsers or, you know, stuff that you do on a regular Android device, but you can tell if it hits a certain place, it just stops, or, you know, it doesn't work because it wasn't quite designed for it.
Right.
It doesn't do that to all apps, but you're taking that chance when you're taking the operating system, modifying it for your own use, and this is what typically people do. They try to make it work for themselves as opposed to what it was designed to do.
Right.
So you're kind of getting off closer to the edge.
And there is a setting in Android that will, the default is it doesn't allow you to go to Amazon and download Amazon apps, but you can override that and go to Amazon and get the different apps that are not Google apps per se.
That you won't find in the Amazon app store.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, it may sound kind of novel, but like I say, you're kind of walking on a little thinner ice than you normally would be. So you could get some surprises.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing we should talk about is rooting. You know, when you do searches, now people can get in trouble really easy because there's instructions to do just about anything to these devices.
Sure.
You know, that basically take you off into one area or another because of stuff that you just want to personally do.
Right.
Like when you get to that root level, you know, that's when all of a sudden, that's when it controls the startup, it controls the operating system. And when you make modifications at that level, then you really are, you know, creating your own path.
You're going into the phone equivalent of PC config. I mean, or MSPC config, depending on how you want to look at it. Yeah.
So if you know what you're doing, you know, you could get away with that. But people that start experimenting with that kind of stuff,
in there, in config sys or anything.
Well, you know? Sometimes you have to.
But I'm talking about the average person who has not studied computers enough to know what to do in a configuration form. They can get themselves a lot of trouble. Your system could lock up and not boot again.
Yeah, and all these areas, you know, they're so pervasive and they're so varied in their nature that it's like different neighborhoods. You know, if you're familiar with the neighborhood, talk to the neighbors and figure out what's going on there.
Sure.
So, you know, don't walk into strange neighborhoods and expect things to work like you do in this other neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the way it is with software. Yeah. It's very complex. It's all interrelated. It's all interdependent. So you have to figure out how to play the game and just learn those environments and just learn them well. So then you can venture out as you touch things, because, you know, the way the industry is, everything, one industry is always touching another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you get into security, you get into storage, whatever it is, all of a sudden these two different companies will have their own strategies for how do you do this and how do you do that, and they all want you to play their game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to know all the games, but it's sometimes that, you know, that's just not feasible.
Right. Okay, well, we'll take a look and try to figure out why there are so many Chinese restaurants in Little Italy when we come back in just a bit.
I'm visiting with Brandon Huff from Bartlesville Custom Cabinets. When people hear custom cabinets, they tend to think of kitchen cabinets. Do you do other cabinets in the home?
We do bathrooms, we build desks, we have entertainment centers, we do complete closets. We do tons of those things as well. Office cabinets, desk areas with the bookcases, entertainment centers. I mean, it's endless what we do.
Bartlesville Custom Cabinets, providing all your cabinet needs. 398681 West 2400 Road. Call 918-440-5981 to get a free estimate on your new project.
New to Pawhuska is Premier Gun and Pawn. Not so new to Pawhuska are pawnbrokers and owners John and Debbie Long. They've opened their doors where you'll find almost anything, with new items arriving every week. Artwork, beautiful, hard-to-find antiques, Pendletons, broadcloth and beading supplies, small and large cedar chest, along with a cedar armoire. Hand-carved, life-size, and smaller wood art, and many unique items are in the mix, with guns, ammo, fishing, and hunting supplies. They carry high-end handmade guns, collector guns, and then your very affordable guns. Many to choose from. You'll find tools, tackle, knives, gold and silver jewelry, gold and silver coins for the coin collector, and metal signs as you peruse the large open space of the newly opened Premier Gun and Pawn. And yes, they buy gold and silver, so stop by. Hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 6, and and Saturdays 9 till 2. Premier Gun and Pawn at 540 Kaihika in Pawhuska. Call 918-287-3456.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and Tech Talk on this Saturday morning. And we're trying to go through some of the terminology and some of the things that give people a common frame of reference. What are you talking about? So particularly if you email Charles and say, "What, you know, my computer is doing this," or you walk in NBR Electronics and say, "I don't even understand what my phone's doing. It's got these symptoms," you know?
Yeah, and we try to teach people. You know, I try to explain to them how to use their phones and to understand those messages that you get on your screen sometime that pop up and you're going, "What is my phone doing?" You know, there's things that it's trying to tell you either not to do or to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just terminologies, and terminologies are the things that Charles and I deal with the most, is explaining to people what, you know, we just went over bricked and different forms of
right.
And terms.
And that's a really kind of an interesting challenge for us, because it's really good to have, you know, our customers be more knowledgeable when they do talk to us, because we're teaching them how to communicate with us, essentially.
Sure.
But we can't spend all day doing it either.
Bricked is a term I'd only heard recently. Other than up until then, I would have put it back in the old cell phone days. You were either carrying a brick or a bucket. But, you know,
that was the brick phones back in the day. They were big, thick, ugly looking phones. And now, you know, these phones are so small. Some of them you could just, you know, when the flip phones came out, they were so tiny. But now everybody's gone to bigger, bigger, bigger. They want those huge screens. Now they're going back to small, small, small.
Yeah.
You know, because you realize you can't carry them in your pocket as well. And there's so many devices, like my Apple Watch, for instance. Mm-hmm. I put my phone down. I rarely use it anymore. This is how small I like it. I don't have to deal with a whole lot in front of me.
Wow.
Well, what if it gets to where it's just like a, what do you call those,
Earbud.
Earbud.
Yeah.
You could have it as an earbud.
Earwig,
because
yeah.
That nanotechnology is just really, you know, kind of at its infancy, basically. You'll start seeing that in more products, so it's going to be very micro.
Max Headroom said it right. Remember him?
Yeah, I do.
He was talking about having everything up inside your head, you know, where you could actually just be like a computer. You just look out there and you see all the things happening.
Well,
your eyes.
Google Glasses, I mean, basically giving you a heads-up display right there, you know. Yeah.
You know, I have not heard much on the Google Glasses in a while. It's kind of...
It was a big thing for a minute.
It was.
And then you don't hear anything about it. I don't understand what happened to it, but it's gone.
Yeah, it seemed like the last thing I heard were that people thought they were kind of offensive, you know, like the one little YouTube where the gal goes into a bar, right, and starts talking to people. And then when as soon as she tells them that she's got Google Glasses on, they like to kick her out. You know, they said this is like an invasion of privacy kind of issue. And, you know, so it's different issues for different people. You know,
right.
So.
And explain AirDrop. You know, the places where you can drop your information into, just kind of like doing the cloud, basically. But there's AirDrop folders where you can drop your information into it and store it. Do you know, have you read up on those?
I don't know about that particular term, AirDrop.
Well, it's an Apple term.
Is that like Dropbox?
Yeah, it's like a Dropbox.
Okay.
They call it AirDrop. And it allows you to drop your information in. But you understand how those things work. It's just like a little mini cloud. But you...
Yeah. Everybody's going to have a private portal eventually. You know, that'll be all their personal stuff. Because, you know, in your lifetime, you have like 13 terabytes of data on the average that you actually accumulate in just digital data.
Sure.
That you don't even know about. I mean, it's like people are collecting this information. Now we're getting to this age where, okay, they're describing it as the cloud. And you know, the cloud is more than just the internet. The internet is a network. The cloud is really more of a space that has no form. You know, it's basically just floats around, just like the virtual machines. It's kind of an example of how the operating system and the data migrates from place to place. It kind of reminds me of Walmart. You know, the thing that set them apart was the fact that their inventory was, there was a time when 80% of their inventory was in trucks. It wasn't sitting in the store, it was moving.
Right. Yeah.
And they were finding out where it was about to be sold, where it was popular. And because I used to work on site at Walmart and get involved with those systems that directly get the buyers involved in where the product is in demand, where is it needed, and it's in motion. So.
Yeah.
Again, you know,
like a cloud. That's
yeah,
exactly
so the,
right.
The cloud basically is that kind of environment. So now, once you get plugged in, now you got to figure out, okay, how do you do this securely? Because, I mean, how do I know? Because like lawyers, they don't want their stuff in the cloud if somebody can just, you know, pick through it.
Yeah.
if the government can get the key to the back door.
Yeah.
Basically.
Essentially.
That's what Apple's fighting right now.
Yep. There's a lot of that going on. So, you know, the security stuff and the whole storage environment is going to be an issue for a while.
Well, I've had, since our last conversation, you and I had last week, I've had two attorneys in my office asking me about that situation. You know, we have gotten so accustomed to having Apple devices because they're so secure in the courtroom.
Not in this courtroom. You were most of the judges, yeah. I know particularly the policy is phone off.
Yeah, right, phone's off. But I'm talking about all the information that they have when they go to a court process, even if it's in printed form, has come off of their devices.
Right.
And now they've even got it to where a lot of these attorneys have a little tiny mobile printer, and they can just take their iPad out in the hallway and print out everything they needed on a terminology, let's say, you know, that they're going to use in the courtroom. But all that's going to change, and they've been asking me, you know, how do you, because we'll have to go back to the desktop thing where, you know, you have to call the secretary, you'll have to put it into motion, stop it today, let's go back this way. But where they used to be able to go into the hallway and get the information they needed to go into the next session, all that will change if there's somebody able to get into that information from a back door, because it's no longer secure.
Yeah, and again, this particular case, you and I talked about this last week, I'm not sure we entirely covered it all, but we talked a lot about it, because the individual that is they're going after was not the original owner of the phone.
Exactly.
And the idea of, you know, Apple could, I've heard said this several times this week, go ahead and do it themselves, not produce a backdoor per se, but open up the phone internally, produce the information, and still not provide a backdoor to anybody because it was done internally. So there's all kinds of ways that it could be done.
Sure.
How it all comes about, we will know maybe next month.
Exactly. And I think I'm thinking it's going to be a, I was explaining to one of my customers who had talked to me about the same thing, and I told him, I said, what this whole fight is about, and it's an important fight, is that because this is, again, on levels of freedom, you know, so we're talking about a fight that's worth fighting.
Right.
It's not like somebody's just challenging the government. They're doing this on a purpose for all of our security. But when you go and look at this, you said it. It belonged to somebody else. So that phone has to have that owner's permission to be able to be used.
Right.
To be able to be cracked. So there, it goes through different levels of information. And these phones, we use them every day. All your personal data, your credit card numbers, how many people use Apple Pay, how many people use the new Google Pay.
Yeah.
You know, all that information is private and it's yours. But are you willing to give that freedom up to somebody else? And I think that in this situation, the fight is over whether or not Apple's going to write a backdoor software. They don't want to write the software. They don't want to be the ones to make this program. And why should they have to be the ones to write the program?
ABC News on their website this morning, Apple CEO Tim Cook says the iPhone cracking software, the equivalent of cancer.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, once you open it up, that cancer spreads.
Yeah.
And it you know, that's, I've always heard that terminology in the cancer world that, you know, the cancer was contained for a moment, but I mean, it was there. Mm-hmm. But the moment they open the person, the cancer really spreads.
Yeah.
Because it gets that oxygen. Whatever happens to it, it spreads. It's the same process with this. Once you give them the key to the back door, then they unlock it, and even if they just crack it open a little bit to slip in and take care of this little matter they have, that door's going to get blown wide open, and eventually there's going to be a whole lot of traffic through that door. So we've got to find out a way. Apple's trying to find out a way to make this. They understand the level of security that's in our country, that this guy may have had some kind of contacts. They want to know that too. But deep down inside, how much are we going to give away of our code to do that?
Okay.
It's a serious thing.
Ben Franklin, pretty sure it was Ben said it right, as far as anyone who is willing to sacrifice a little bit of freedom for a little bit of security deserves neither.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's very good.
You know, and that's a great thought. Some of the things that were said like that, you know, you don't really, until you really look at the situation you're in right now, those things finally make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those statements those guys made way back in the day, our forefathers, our founders that created the Constitution, they were brilliant men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of things they saw that were going to happen down the road, but they didn't know these kinds of things, but they wrote it in such a way that creates debate. You have to go and debate it.
Exactly. Well, you know? we're done debating it except for how to get a hold of you guys.
Well, let's talk about how to get a hold of Charles.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I got my little InfraGuard meeting this Wednesday.
Okay.
We only got room for 25 seats, but it's 10 ways on how to protect your security. You know, and it's going to be this Wednesday at noon. And so if you want to RSVP, because we only got 25 seats, my number is 918-327-9341. And
and that's going to be held out
at Tri-County Tech in their conference center, because this is FBI's presentation on security.
That's great. And I'm Charles at NBR Electronics. You can find me down there, 918-876-2921.
News on the way next.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.